again, everybody, and welcome to our latest edition of No Filter Sports Podcast. And this is not Eli Zarrett speaking to you, as you regular listeners have been able to tell, much to your shock. So Eli's away on vacation. We hope he's having a great time with his family. So it's just Major League Baseball's last 30-game winner, and yours truly, and our right arm, Brandon McAvey, our producer on the program today. Mr. McClain, what's
Bob,
on your mind?
How are you, sir? How's
I'm
everything?
Doing fine. What's on your mind today to start with?
Well, I had one of my most horrible moments last night when I heard an announcement on one of the TV shows. Arts, Beats, and Eats has been canceled. I don't know what I'm going to do that weekend.
Yeah, well, it's been canceled. I sense you're being sarcastic because
no,
you're a
man
and you don't even know what it is. You go to that? You go to that?
I've been to it once in a while with my wife. She loved that place. And this year, I think they're just going to have events, but they're not going to have the Art Beats and Eats.
So well,
it's always a big thing in Detroit.
Well, it is, but here's my problem with that event. And I've written letters and I've done whatever I could. Why, oh, why do they hold that? And of course, I've been to it many times. Why do they hold it on that weekend? They're up against the annual Detroit Jazz Festival downtown on the same days. It's the greatest free jazz festival in the entire world. And one of the greatest jazz festivals. Can't they hold them on separate weekends? So as you may know, what the Jazz Festival is going to do over the Labor Day weekend this year is they are going to have performers, but not some of the very big name people they usually have. And it's all going to be online. So you just, you know, log onto their website, I guess, online, and you can at least see the music if you can't actually go to it. And I'm with you, Denny. I'm just so going to miss those events. I come back specifically to go to the Jazz Festival every year. But it's just part and parcel of, you know, of the times that we're in right
now. That's the environment we live in right now. Who knows? We know a doctor the other day that was talking to us and telling us that he believes the masks will last almost 5 years. In order to get rid of this thing. So hopefully that's not going to be accurate. Hopefully we get some better news than what we've had. But and the Tigers, they've got some good news. They are going to play baseball tomorrow night in Cincinnati. What
Friday
do you
night.
Think of that, Bob?
Season opener. Well, I mean, we talked the last show, and we've been talking all along. You and I are in 100% agreement on this. Let's see Casey Mize. Yeah. Let's see some of these kids. It's time that we get a handle on whether Al Avila deserves to be fired, as you've been saying for the last year on this show, or whether, as I've been saying now, give them a little chance. We got to see what these kids are like. So this is the perfect time to do this. And yet Avila optioned Mize, the catcher of the future, allegedly, Jake Rogers, the young pitchers, optioned everybody out before the season started. Now, Denny, when that news broke, listener Greg Gaynor tweeted me and said, "Looks like the Tigers won't even try to be competitive in 2020 as they put every single prospect in Toledo to work out. The current team has zero reason to watch now in 2020.
I disagree. I think what they're trying to do, to be honest with you, is I think anybody they're going to play up front right now, and this normally is the way it is in every season, no matter when you start it, they're trying to put some guys out there they think have got some value that you can make a deal with. You can maybe find somebody that you think is washed up, but he may be available for nothing. We may be looking for a different position players right now, somebody to back up somebody. I mean, but I agree with you. These pitchers got to pitch. All the other positions will take care of themselves, good, bad, or indifferent. But you know what? You got Mize, you got Manning, you got Fado, and the other guy, Scubell. And I got news for you. If two or three of those guys are any good, they should be in the environment doing what they need to do, and that's pitch. And they're getting an opportunity right now to come into the ballpark without people, without somebody calling them dirty names in Cincinnati for the next 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, they've got the best of all worlds. And why the Tigers don't see that, it really amazes me. It really does.
I think the biggest issue here when we talk about these young arms, it's all about the contract. Now, last year we saw Pete Alonso. He actually got to start the year for the New York Mets. And you know what?
Yeah,
he paid off.
You're right about this, and we discussed it on the last show.
Pete Alonso paid off. He became, you know, the rookie of the year. He won the home run derby. He probably brought a lot of fans into that stadium. Now, if you bring Casey Mize up right away,
Yep.
You're going to lose a year of his eligibility. You're going to use a full year. That is a long, a full 162 season year, not just a 60. If you wait a couple weeks, you get him an extra year. Now, if you bring him up early, what incentive are you really going to get? You're not going to bring people into the stands because COVID. Nobody's going to come in. That would be the only other reason to bring him up is, hey, we need to fill this stadium. Maybe we bring Casey Mize up early. Nah, that's not the case.
My direction is winning. And if you want to win, you got to start these kids even with the board. If you want to do it by accounting, that's something that
Danny,
I don't
are you
know how
saying
to do.
That you feel the Detroit Tigers, even though it's a 60-game short season and anything can happen, do you really believe that this roster has a chance to quote-unquote win?
Number one, anybody can be competitive in a 60-game schedule. We've seen that before. Secondly, no, I don't think they are going to be. I don't think they're going to be a 500 club. Because they're not putting their best team out there to start, because these kids are going to have to be good and they're going to have to be quick about it, because I think the Tigers are trying to set something up for the next 2 or 3 years, and they wind up with a pretty good baseball team, and they've got four pitchers who are pretty good, considered really good in some circles, that got a chance to either lure somebody to Detroit or they become effective and they become winners. So
now,
either
way,
but if you're going to do it by accounting, then that takes the whole formula away.
Okay. Now, as to what Brandon was saying, we got a 60-game schedule. Every game's critical. I want to see Casey Mize out there in the second game of the season this weekend at Cincinnati, because if you start losing any games, you're not making the playoffs. Why is that important? To, again, answer Brandon's question. So many people are so down on this team. They've had enough of the Detroit Tigers. They've had enough losing. The players themselves say, we've had enough losing. You put the best team out there. I want to see these kids. And you at least generate a positive attitude. Get some momentum going. Make people excited about baseball in Detroit again. So it's an interesting trade out. You know, the 1 year thing, I think either you or Eli had brought that up on the last show. Yeah, you know, the Cubs did this with Chris Bryant. Remember when he was going to tear the National League apart, and they sent him out to the minor leagues when he didn't deserve it. It was a tough decision. I'm leaving these kids up here. I want to see what they got.
And Bryant was totally an accounting move. That's simply put, that was an accounting move.
And that's
move,
what I'm so saying about what's happening with the Tigers right now. I fully believe that we're looking at a very good 2022 Tigers team, a very good 2023 Tigers team, because then you're going to have the arms. You're going to have Casey Mize, Matt Manning. You're going to have Scooble. You're going to have, hey, maybe Fulmer will still be here. And hey, maybe even Justin Verlander will come back after his contract's done with the Astros. But you never know. And I think that if you get those bats for then, however, if you bring him up just a little bit too early in a season that we all think that the Tigers are going to tank anyway, why not sit him for a couple weeks to get an extra year?
That's why we are not asking for them to put Riley Green on. It looks like this kid's going to be a big star. We're not asking them to put number one draft choice Riley Green on the big league roster. He's only, 19 years old right now? No, send him out, fine. But these other kids are in their early 20s, and all we've been hearing about is how great they are. It's time to take a look at it and turn this franchise around, because I don't think Al Avila's got to 2022, Brandon. People are pissed right now. People like Danny McClain are calling for him to be fired.
As I said earlier, I think they're setting something up for 2022, 2023. But as far as Riley goes, I saw him play two nights in a row. He struck out 6 times in 2 nights. Wasn't even close. It wasn't anywhere near the plate. And in Grand Rapids, it's hardly AAA baseball. He's got a long way to go if he's ever going to get there. He reminds me of so many kids that can fly. Can go catch fly balls like they're nothing and chase it down 50 feet, 60 feet, 100 feet. That's what he reminds me of. He has to have somebody teach him how to hit the ball inside and outside. And boys, there's a science to both sides of the plate. It just isn't you got natural ability and you can go up there. Riley's got great ability. Now he's got to be able to apply it in order to be effective for the ball.
Okay. Now here's another thing. It's being reported now as we record this on Thursday morning that Major League Baseball is in discussion with the Players Association to already expand the 2020 playoffs from the 10 teams they say are going to make it to 16 teams. So this means to me that, again, if Casey Mize is in their rotation, Scooble and whoever else they got, Tigers might have a chance to gulp, make the playoffs this year. And again, Brandon, that's going to excite people like you Detroit Tigers fans who want to see this ball club succeed at long last.
I completely understand that because we are going to see an expansion of the playoffs this year. And I don't think that the Tigers, you know, hey, anybody can get hot for a couple weeks. And with a 60-game full season,
yeah,
you never know. Ultimately, though, when I look at this team, I don't feel like an Austin Romine and a Kendall or Nico Goodrum and a Christian Stewart, Jacoby Jones. I just don't think that they're going to power the team to a championship. Right. So I think an extra year of eligibility keeping Casey Mize for an extra year is special.
I know, but they say Miggy is 100% right now. They say
happy.
The CJ Cromb, who was a pretty good home run hitter with the Minnesota Twins, they signed as a free agent. They say he's been looking great. This club might be able to score runs. They might surprise you.
Well, is Daniel Norris going to surprise? Is Tyler Alexander going to surprise us?
I know where you're coming from.
A lot of aces there. Yeah, Matthew Boyd looks good, and Michael Fulmer might come back from surgery after two years of not playing. That's huge.
He's supposed to be 100%.
Gentlemen, never lose sight of one thing. We're talking about a lot of guys that have never been to the big leagues who are going to be up there and getting the taste. And I want to tell you, the first 30 to 45 days in every major league park, the hitters are way behind the pitchers. So kids who could be pretty good will not look pretty good for 30 days, maybe longer than that, and then maybe not. But that's one of the other elements they got to fight. Hitters are always behind the pitchers.
But they do say the South American.
Guess one thing.
They say the South American players have a slow start because it's cold. Well, now they're starting the season in the heat.
But the good teams are going to come out with guns loaded, and they're going to want to run away with the first 20 games, 25 games. That's the difference. If we're coming out with guys that, one of those guys, then we're not going to be real competitive. But I like the idea.
The listener said you're throwing in the towel.
I let you guys both go on. 16 games, I think it's a great idea. It puts some competitiveness back in the game. I think it's wonderful. In fact, I think before the end of the year, they're going to let some fans in the ballpark too.
I had lunch with an old, literally, friend of mine just yesterday. And, you know, down here in South Florida, you know, we have a lockdown thing going on. Sure. And we were talking about fans not being allowed to come to these games and how this is going to work out. Now, we had to wear masks. It's the law here to walk through the restaurant to get to our outdoor table. Now, we're seated at the table and we're 5 feet apart. And he's, you know, pretty paranoid about the COVID thing. So I said, let me ask you a question, Jimmy. I said, we're 5 feet apart. You don't seem uncomfortable with that. I said, how come fans can't go to these games when they get to the gate, they put their masks on, they're taken to their seats, they sit down, then you can take your mask out and nobody's within 5 feet of you. You could get 30,000 fans in a lot of these ballparks. How come they can't do that?
Well, they can't do that because that's what the governor said. The bottom line is there's a line of rules and you're going to have to follow the rules, but we're not going into the park yet. So we have to wait, but I ate near a restaurant yesterday outside. I wouldn't go inside a restaurant anymore at this point in time, but I would certainly be more than receptive to sitting outside. And I might throw one caveat in there that it's a little windy. I mean, I was upwind.
So, Brandon, what do you think about that? 5 feet of social distancing between fans at games.
I don't know.
Wear your mask to your seat. And when you leave, wear your mask.
I know, but do you open up all the concessions? I mean, there's so much that goes into it. You know, there are entrance points. So when you enter the stadium, how do you do that? Mask on. Okay. I just think right now with the craziness that's going on, just let them play and we can all watch it on television.
I agree.
Yeah, isn't this a crazy situation, by the way? Speaking of crazy, the team without a town. Now the state of Pennsylvania won't allow the poor Blue Jays to play in Pittsburgh amid the coronavirus thing going on. So as you all know, Canada's already said they can't play their own games because they don't want anybody coming in from our country and bringing COVID-19 with them. So the Jays general manager says, it's okay, we actually got about, you know, five different places in mind that we could play, especially their AAA affiliate stadium in Buffalo, although maybe the state of New York wouldn't let them play there. I have no idea why they were going to Pittsburgh anyway, probably money. And you know what, guys? Jays are supposed to open their home schedule next week on July 29th. What a mess.
Well, game's got to start sometime. I mean, it is what it is, and we're gonna be there. We're going to all watch the games. So
I don't know about that. I'm going to sample the games. I'm not sure I'm going to watch that. I'll watch the Tigers game on Friday night. I guess it's on national TV, but I don't know how many people are going to watch this stuff.
Ratings are going to be massive. Massive.
They really should be.
You and I have been going on about this for a few months now. We're going to see what the ratings are. And not just from the weekend. We'll talk about the ratings a month from now.
No, no, no. I'm not talking about ratings. No. I'm talking about those commercials. People purchase commercials to be on MLB. And right now, the commercials are going, they're just selling out like hotcakes. Why? Yep. Because we finally have live sports that's coming back, and everybody wants to be a part of it. And regarding the Toronto, if we can go back to the Blue Jays for a moment, Tony Paul of the Detroit News had mentioned that the Lansing Lugnuts have offered up their
Their farm club. It's Toronto's farm club anyway.
Yeah. So we might just see the Blue Jays right
you
here in Lansing.
You think Gretchen Whitmer is uptight as she has been, is going to let Toronto come into the state of Michigan when the governor of Pennsylvania already says no? I don't know.
I don't even think it's on the table. So
yeah. And another thing about this, Brandon, in our industry, television ratings for sports are almost always sold on expected ratings. So we have what we call make goods. So if you say we're going to deliver X amount of people in the audience, and here's what you're going to charge you, and the ratings come out and it's nowhere near what you promised, you have to pay the advertisers back. You have to give them their money through make goods or extra commercials.
That won't happen here.
No, it won't happen here, that's for sure.
It won't be interesting. And then we're talking about
the
60 games.
You definitely underestimated the fact of underestimated what these people at home are. We haven't had anything on
anything.
TV.
We've
we
had
haven't
zero.
Had no new movies. I mean, very few new shows. These people are going to see baseball back, albeit late. They're going to go crazy. Same thing with the NBA when they return. And if the NHL returns too, everybody is going to be watching.
You are a young man. We who are of the old school, including our mystery guest, we'll tell you about later on, we already don't like a lot of what we've seen in baseball. We're already, a lot of us older guys, we're down on the game. So it's not going to take us too much to say, you know what? I'm not watching this. This is garbage. No fans in the stands. I'm not watching this anymore. Your generation, maybe you will. And you guys drive the ratings because advertisers feel that you have all the spending money.
So, Bob, I don't know why you're putting the kibosh on this. The people are going to tune into the game, especially Detroit,
that's your
Chicago.
Opinion. That's Brandon's opinion.
The stalwarts are going to do it. They're going to be there. They're going to watch every inning. And it's, you know, listen, this is going to be our entertainment for a while. I hope the NBA does come back. Dear Lord, I hope so. And I hope the NFL comes back. The NFL, I'm in doubt about. They're just having too many people that are testing positive. Yeah. I'm going to give you a little test, both of you. But let me name five people first before you take your first guess, okay? Puig, Price, Posey, Zimmerman, Polanco. What are they known for together right now?
Oh, obviously known for your deliberately giving up Mickey Mantle's home run in Detroit. Jim Price was behind the plate. Everybody knows that, Denny.
But Posey,
what about
and Zimmerman,
Jim Price?
Bob, Posey and Zimmerman weren't there. What are you smoking
yes, I
this
know.
Morning? All right.
Yes, I
all right,
know.
So I was trying to be
funny,
right?
God damn it.
I got no answer there, right?
Well, I mean, I got.
How about Meadows?
Listen,
Hicks,
I know what you're saying.
Chapman, Gallagher, and Kopech.
You're naming people that have COVID, correct?
That's right.
Joey
That's
Gallo
exactly
had
right.
it. Buster Posey doesn't have it. Buster Posey just doesn't want to. He just doesn't want to play this
well,
year.
Well, these are guys that are not going to play for one reason or the other. But the majority of them have the virus. The majority have the virus.
Yeah.
So bottom line is, and we're talking about lots of stars, and I don't think that'll drive the attendance.
I don't think those
now,
are that big
of
stars.
Saying, what I saw and I was impressed with was the number of the stars who are jumping out, especially David Price. I was surprised that he decided.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah, but David, 2020 David Price is not 2012 David Price. And it's
got nothing to do with the talent. It's got nothing to do with the
talent.
In
a way, it does. You know who is playing? Acuna. You know who is playing? Mike Trout. You know who is playing? Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, the best of the best of the best.
Brandon, listen to what Denny's saying. He's making a great point and one I was going to make myself. So these guys are playing, and now you're really excited. Let's say the Tigers are doing well, and guess what? The final 2 weeks of the season in the middle of these races, your biggest star tests positive for COVID-19. He's out for 10 days. How are you going to win without your biggest stars? Denny just mentioned Chapman. Aroldis Chapman, the Yankees' amazing relief pitcher, he's tested positive for COVID-19. He's not going to open the season with the Yankees this weekend. And if that's not going to frustrate people like you, Brandon, who are trying to hold on to your love for baseball in the midst of this, you're going to be pissed if your team's going to win the pennant or the division and then they lose their top two
I don't
players.
Think I'm going to be pissed. I think I'll be pretty entertained if we make it all the way to the World Series and we have to watch the AAA team of the Yankees face off against the AAA of the Dodgers because everybody has COVID. But you know what? That'll be one memorable World Series.
Well, you'll have to tell me how that comes out then. You tape all the games and just, you know, let me know how it goes out and who
I'm just
it.
Saying, okay, I'm just saying, when it comes down to the people who aren't participating in the league this year, sure, Buster Posey is a big name. Is he one of the best catchers in the league anymore? No. No, he's not one of the top 10, I wouldn't say.
Brandon,
I'm saying Price Ryan Zimmerman is opting out. Is Ryan Zimmerman a great first baseman? He had a good postseason last year, but no, he's on the downturn of his career.
Don't judge people on their talent. We're only talking about headliners right now. I mean, you can play that game all day long. You can pick a guy who had 300 last year and doesn't hit 300 this year. Price, Posey, Zimmerman, these are all stars in the game.
I don't think people they're as big as stars as you think, though, Denny.
I guess I'm just going
to say. Well, you don't have to argue that. That's not the point. The point is whomever you consider to be a big star on your beloved team, as they're about to maybe get into the playoffs and they lose your big star due to COVID for 19 or for 10 days at least. You know what
it's
I'm saying?
It's going to be a bad
day. This whole thing is a mess. That's what I'm trying to say. Whole thing is a mess. And now, ladies and gentlemen.
And we brought that up a while back about what happens if a guy loses their what happens to a team if they lose their top four players, top.
Sure.
You know, it's a chump change time at that point in time.
Yeah. Well, one thing you can count on, ladies and gentlemen, Feldman Automotive is Michigan's number one Chevy dealer. They got five locations. Novi, New Hudson, Lansing, Livonia, and Highland. Feldman Automotive also claims Michigan's number one pre-owned status with its 1-800 pre-owned supercenter in Waterford. You buy a fully inspected and guaranteed pre-owned auto from Feldman and relax with their exclusive drive it for 3 days, love it, or bring it back guarantee. The goal is to make it a can't-lose proposition for all you people out there, and Feldman assures you with its exclusive guaranteed credit approval as well. So you visit any of Feldman's other 9 locations, which include Feldman Hyundai of New Hudson, Feldman Kia of Novi, Feldman Dodge, Jeep, and Ram of Woodhaven. We are confident you're going to find what you want. You're going to find what you need at any of these Feldman dealerships. Let them earn your business and at the same time support them and our show, No Filter Sports. You can also, by the way, you can also buy your car online at FeldmanAuto.com, hassle-free at home or in the showroom. And if you're concerned about the environment, I mean, aren't we all? Shouldn't we all be? We encourage you to look into Power Home Solar. It's based in Detroit, which is America's fastest growing solar energy company. And all of Power Home Solar's state-of-the-art panels are made in America too. With solar energy, you're going to save money. You're going to help save the environment and also help yourself avoid those costly and infuriating power outages. It's because Power Home Solar has partnered with Generac, the nation's largest provider of in-home backup battery and generator systems. So with Power Home Solar's panels and Generac, you're going to be protected by a single, safe, sustainable solution for your in-home energy. Yeah, lower your energy bills and eliminate power outages at your house. Owner Jason Waller and PHS have financing starting at $99 a month. So you call them at 1-800-POWER-90, and you'll save an additional $1,800. So support our guys again, folks. We really appreciate our sponsors, and we really appreciate you, and hope that you will continue to support them and us. And you're listening, of course, to No Filter Sports Podcast.
All right, Mookie hit the grand salada, right? He's got the big one. He's got over $400 million if he collects from all aspects of his deal.
Mookie, I think that's grand salami, right?
No. Mookie bets.
Listen, Bob, you know, I don't correct you every time you screw up.
I think it's charming. I think it's charming, Denny.
Much.
That's all. Go on.
But Mookie's got the grand salami or schlong or whatever else you want to call it. He got it. Over $400 million if he collects from all aspects of the deal. To be compared against an NFL or an NBA player who just got a ton of money too. $34.56 million, $22.69 bonus plus upfront bonuses that were contained in the contract. He's only getting $34.56 million. Isn't that a little unfair? Basketball just can't get there, or football can't get there. Somebody can't get there.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of factors involved in that. But you know what? I got a lot of notes for the show here today. I didn't even mention Betts in my notes. The reason is I saw the story, obviously, and thought, business as usual, BFD. We just go on with millions and millions and millions and millions. Guys who, and let's face it, I'm just blowing smoke up your big fat behind. Guys who couldn't hold your jock strap. I mean, they're just this kid, Garrett Cole in New York and everything. It's just what the game is now. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I don't even, I try not to get upset about it. And as I say, and this, why even mention it? It's just more.
So this 12-year extension from Mookie Betts to the LA Dodgers, it's only the tied for the third largest sports contract right now. He is tied with Canelo Alvarez, the boxer from Mexico, who's also making that same amount in that contract. But Mike Trout, $426.5 million, is more.
Whatever.
And NFL, Patrick Mahomes just signed the big old $500 million 12-year deal.
Whatever.
So. And isn't that what I said? We're seeing more and more and more. These things are going to become common days sooner or later. I mean, these are giant sums of money. None of us have any concept what $300 million
is. It's amazing to look at the top 15 sports contracts, and they're all baseball with the exception of Mahomes and Alvarez. But once you get there.
Not in the world, because you're talking about professional soccer, too. There's some guys making humongous
money. You're right. I stand corrected. This is North American sports. But you know, who's paying attention to soccer anyway? But then once you finally drop out of that baseball, you start seeing a few basketballs like James Harden and Steph Curry and stuff like that.
Let me say this to you. Every time they sign a guy like that, it only helps my pension. Just keep that in mind. So every time that happens, our pensions become a little bit more stable and secure and what have you. So let's all applaud every time we see a guy get $400 million.
Right. Well, you don't mean to imply that your pension, what they give you now as an ex-Major League Baseball pitcher, goes up every year. Does it go up every year?
Normally it goes up a little bit every year, yeah.
And you think that's as a result of some of these contracts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh,
okay. I did not know that.
Contributions are made based upon salaries and income.
Uh-huh.
And the bottom line is the more they go up, the more money is installed in our pension.
Right, because with my pension from the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, which I think you also have. You sign up for it. It's flat rate the rest of your life.
Yeah, it is.
Social Security goes up, but most pensions don't.
Yeah, Major League does.
I've always said
it's the greatest pension in the world.
Yeah. I want to talk about, get back to the Tigers game and Major League Baseball opening up this weekend for a second. And you know what this is about. You see what happened the other night, Tuesday night in Cincinnati when Detroit played down there?
Yep.
They had a bunch of guys who took the knee during the national anthem. And the Tigers, a lot of the Tigers, just decided they weren't going to come out of the clubhouse at all for the national anthem. So it's going to be interesting to see how many guys do this, what the reaction is going to be. Now, if you remember, and Brandon, you're too young for this, we were initially shocked as reporters who covered the Detroit Tigers when neither Chet Lemon nor Lou Whitaker would come out of the clubhouse for the national anthem due to something about their Jehovah's Witness convictions. But you know what? After a short while, we just got used to it. It never came up in conversation. So Giants manager, the ex-Tiger Gabe Kapler, and several of his players knelt during the national anthem before Monday night's exhibition game against Oakland. Is this going to be a problem for Major League Baseball this year, or do you see it just going away and blowing over?
You know, I don't see it any different than the mask, to be honest with you. It's, you know, what's so tough about putting a mask on? What's so tough about staying in the clubhouse or kneeling on the bench or kneeling on the field? I don't understand it.
Well,
there's no controversy there for me. None whatsoever.
Going?
You make a choice, you live with your choice, period.
Okay.
That's what this country's all about.
Okay. So in other words, what you seem to be implying is that the guys who want to kneel can go ahead and kneel, and the guys who don't can stay standing up. You don't have a problem with it either way. Is that what you're saying?
I have no problem. I'm not telling anybody what to do.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I'm kind of with you on this. I'm tired of it. I mean, we have all heard people say this on this side and that on that side. Whatever. It's just here. It's like anything else, you know.
You know, and I don't want to go any deeper with this, but let's say a woman being pregnant to some degree, and the bottom line is, Brandon, I'm not going to get you pregnant.
Brandon had this amazing look of shock and disbelief when Denny said that.
I may not believe in one side of that or not, but the bottom line is, I don't have the right to tell Brandon's wife or your wife or his wife what to do. I mean, that's your choice.
See,
I'm
not
married.
Here's where we differ, because I don't associate kneeling for the flag with being pregnant or wearing a mask for COVID.
It's called freedom of choice, Brandon.
What I do see, though, is I see a lot of people that get offended by certain things. People are offended by somebody maybe wearing blackface. Some people get offended, you know, when someone uses a specific term, a piece of language. Now, what I do know is I know that there's a lot of patriotic people out there, and there's also a lot of people who are family of military members and stuff like that. Now, when they see somebody kneeling during the anthem or for the flag or whatever, they don't think about all the other stuff. They don't think about what the social meaning of it is. What they see is, I'm offended because you are kneeling to something that I care about. And so I
Brandon,
feel like
we all understand that.
Kneel,
what I want to know is, are you telling us that you are offended by that, Brandon? Are you personally offended by it?
Personally, not really. I don't care if someone's
going to live with it too.
I'll live with it. I just want you to know that there's going to be people upset with it. You're not going to be able to solve this issue. People are going to see that, and they're going to get upset no matter what it's for because
Brandon,
they
feel
an affinity.
I'm 76 years old. I'm 76 years old. I've seen everything at least three times. I've been here for the 67 riots. I've been here for the 68 fire that we almost had. I've been here for a lot of stuff. So, I mean, one thing I've determined, people are free to make their own choices about life, period. That's all there is. Whether I agree with what they do or not, that's their decision, not me.
All right, so now let's only point is that you're not going to hear an ending of the criticism for it because people feel so strongly about it.
Sure,
so it will continue to be a story.
But it's more than that, Brandon. It's more than that, Brandon. So check this out. The Mark Cuban has declared that the, quote, national anthem police in this country are out of control, end quote. And that led to a tense Twitter exchange the other day with Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who is a right winger, will not support any political or social protests during the national anthem. Cuban says it's fine with him if his Dallas Mavericks do it. But Mark Davis, who was apparently some kind of Dallas-based conservative talk show host, tweeted the other day his excitement about the Mavs coming back and playing this bastardized season. But this guy also said on the radio that he would no longer support the Mavericks or even be a fan of the team the minute one player kneels for the national anthem. So the point is, people are going to be pissed about this. And the three of us may say, well, let's let it go. We'll just live with it. But how much is this going to hurt sports?
None. Zero.
You say none?
None.
Brandon sounded to me like Brandon was leading to the point that a lot of these people are really, really going to be so turned off by this.
He just said, though, that it doesn't bother him.
I don't feel like people are going to be turned off to the point where I'm not going to. Sure, people are going to say that. I'll never watch again. But then they're going to watch their team no matter what. I'm only saying that this issue will always be repeated because as people do that, more people will continue to say, I feel strongly about that flag. But they're still going to watch. They're still going to tune in. I guarantee that we're going to see record ratings.
You've said that many times. Now, another part of this does belong to the NBA, Danny. The NBA has now delivered on its promise to print Black Lives Matter on the game courts for the league's restart in Orlando. On Tuesday of this week, the league unveiled a new court, and they gave reporters a big tour. Black Lives written on the floor in large, glossy black print. So I did a little research on this, because I don't know Orlando very well. I think, obviously, we've all been there. There's a place in Orlando called Crosstown. This is officially also home to Paramore and other places like that. A lot of different neighboring communities that have had a lot of problems. Classic inner city ghetto, if you will, problems where black kids, young black males, are killing other young black males. This is going to happen right near the arena in Orlando where the NBA is going to play these games with Black Lives Matter on the court. I just, you know what I'm saying? Yes, of course, I'm with them. Black Lives Matter. But I wonder how much some of these people are with Black Lives Matter, even though they are black.
Well, we got protests all over the country, not all over the country, but in certain cities. Some don't get the exposure they probably are looking for because there's so many going on. But you know what? Again, it gets down to exactly what you're able to do in this country. I'm sorry, but that's what we all fall on. We do not want to be told what to do. Period. And that's kind of the attitude as an American. I mean, that really is. But we should also respect the other peers, person. And that's where we've lost the ball a little bit. We have a tendency not to respect people because they wear brown shoes instead of black or something like that. Silly stuff.
You're so right about that, Denny. And there was a big article in Thursday mornings. I think it was the Free Press that had it. I'm not sure. Free Press or the News.
Yeah.
Huge front page article about the mask issue in this country. how diametrically opposed so many millions of Americans are. And the ones who refuse to wear masks in public say the same thing that you just brought up. This is a free country. I'm an American, and you're not going to tell me what to do. I don't particularly agree with that, not anymore. I just follow the law as a law-abiding citizen. But now dig this. Here's another thing about this, at least an ancillary issue. On Wednesday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed bipartisan legislation to remove Confederate statues from the U.S. Capitol, arguing that the memorials to white men who sought to keep African Americans enslaved should no longer be lauded in the halls of Congress. Denny, how much have you and I talked about the potential of this happening? So this means, by passing this act, by extension, by implication, that our government must also soon tear down both the Washington and Jefferson monuments in D.C., because those guys were two racist Southern slave owners. Are we all good with that, too?
You know, and I'm not defending anybody, please, and I'm not going to make any disparaging remarks about it one way or the other, but I will say that it was a different time in America a long time ago. Things were so much different, not 180 degrees, maybe 360, 720 degrees. There is no way, and, you know, I know they're talking about reparations in some sense. That part of the program is still on the table, but I got to tell you that it was a different time, and this is a tough one for everybody. It is so difficult to come down on one side or the other, by the way, because I believe, and I think they've said this one other time, I think we should build 6 or 8, 10 museums around the country, take all of these statues that are coming down and all of the other stuff that's applied within the context of these statues, and put them in museums around the country, so at least we don't lose the history of what they represented. It was a very, very dark time in the United States of America, and I don't think we should lose what happened there. Maybe it'll teach somebody a lesson one day. Maybe it already has.
I just think this, as I said again, you're going to have to go farther than this. Congress is criticized, rightfully so, by almost everybody, left or right. And here they are passing this law on Wednesday, and it means you can't have the Washington or Jefferson monuments, memorials in D.C. anymore. So how about this? Why don't they just take the statues out of the Jefferson Memorial, at least, and put in, make it a museum to slavery? Is that what we want? You know, this stuff, in my mind, has got to stop at some point soon. It really does. It's gotten ridiculous, terribly overboard.
Well, in the grander scheme, maybe that has to be a part of the museum. I think if anybody ever gets there, I don't think we ever will, but if it ever gets there, that's going to have to be a part of, that is a part of our history, unfortunately. Yeah. That is a part of our history.
It is. It absolutely is, and they did many great things, too. Sure. So Brandon is signaling me now, it's time to get my professional New York voiceover voice out again and tell you about some people who are very important to us, such as Luke Nowacki. As you listeners know, Luke Nowacki of Pinnacle Wealth Strategies is a proven, highly ethical, and well-regarded expert in financial planning. Whether you own a business, you want to protect and grow your family's financial well-being, you really should contact Luke. His experience and track record of success makes him outstanding. He's going to help you, folks. Whether it's planning for future obligations like weddings or college funding and retirement, or maybe even want to create a trust fund to provide for those you may leave behind someday, let Luke Nowacki develop a comprehensive plan to account for all of it. He's got decades of experience creating custom solutions for businesses and individuals like you. So if you call Luke, and here's his number, 248-663-4748, you can set up a complimentary consultation. Not going to cost you anything. You ask him any questions you want about finance and let Luke lay out a plan that fits your individual needs. Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. And again, I'll give you the number, 248-663-4748. We got to talk about Hall Financial too, Denny. I hope your voice gets better. You were so good in these commercials in the past. But anyway, and your eye gets better sight-wise so you can read the copy. But anyway, we all know that the coronavirus has changed our world. But fortunately, what hasn't changed is the opportunity to make smart financial decisions. One of those things would be to take advantage of dramatically low interest rates to refinance your home through David Hall Mortgage. You've seen, you've heard David for more than three decades in Michigan, on the air, because he and his team have maintained leadership in the mortgage market by consistently offering better options and more personal attention. That gives rise to lower mortgage payments and the most satisfied clients. By refinancing now, you can probably skip up to at least two payments. Hall Financial has also sustained its leadership by bringing you the fastest service in the business, generally 3 weeks or less. Eli, I think, did his mortgage with them in 3 weeks. So this enables them to garner nearly 1,500 five-star reviews from Michigan homeowners who've used them. Go to DavidHallMortgage.com, folks. Click on the logo to get started or give them a call. 248-308-5000. That's an easy number to remember. Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. You're listening to No Filter Sports Podcast.
All right, listen, guys, there's another big thing going on with the NFL. I think most of their issues have been settled now. I certainly hope so, because we sure'd like to see this football season. No preseason games. And I ask you a question. With no preseason games, and they're going to allow fans into the ballparks, into the parks, doesn't this, without having a preseason game, no preseason games at all, doesn't this kind of really take a team who's made some offensive moves like the Lions? They got a whole new offensive line. How do they get that ready for opening day? I mean, they got all kinds of things
that
they got
to
worry about.
There's no need to, Denny.
But let me tell you the worst part.
That's dumb.
Wait a second. When you let the fans in the park, how are they going to drink beer and drink the pop and the hot dogs if they can't take their masks off?
You're worried about a team that everybody in the world except Brandon McAfee knows is going 3-13.
No, they're
not.
Who
cares about the Lions' offensive line?
I think they're going to have a good year.
Well, we'll see about that. What's a good year? 9-7 for them. An amazing year.
They'll be in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Hey, did you see what's going on with Michigan State football?
I guess we're done with the Lions.
on Wednesday. Michigan State at least wins some games every now and then, you know, and usually they haven't been lately. Usually they're competently managed. But anyway, so on Wednesday, they paused workouts for the football team because of, this is not going to surprise you, a COVID-19 test. So after they had finished testing all their players Wednesday afternoon, the athletic department became aware of a staff member who'd produced a positive test last weekend. Mm. So because the 20-hour practice week was due to begin, players and staff members would be in large groups during the workouts. So athletic director Bill Beekman just said, that's it. We're not practicing. So what now, Bill? It's the big week of the Michigan game. Wednesday, a player tests positive. Is MSU going to just call off practice then too? And then maybe cancel the Michigan game on Friday night? Again, you know, we got some people, Denny, you know, and Brandon, who, and their complaints are justified. They say, well, you guys talk about COVID-19 so much.
What else
is there to talk about? Everything is related to COVID-19
now. Yeah, you're right. I think there's some good news on the horizon. I don't know how much on a scale of 1 to 10, but they've got some tests that are going to be quicker tests now. They're going to have that out, they say, in 30 to 60 days. That's a huge.
And you don't know this, but starting, I believe, either it's today or next week, here in Palm Beach County, Florida, they have asked for and easily received 1,200 volunteers to become human, 1,200 human guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And they're going to be, they've already developed a couple of drugs that they think are going to combat COVID-19. And these people are going to be in this trial taking these drugs. And as we all know, we hope it works. We all feel that.
Not only that, but one of the bigger drug companies in the world is in our state of Michigan, Pfizer.
Pfizer,
and
sure.
They are.
They got a big deal.
They got a contract for a couple of billion dollars to produce the immunizations that they're looking at right now. Hopefully, this is a part of this.
Yeah.
Of the,
we
of
are
going to
solve this thing. This is going away, and we are going to solve this thing. Now, with the ACC, the Big 12, and SEC waiting till next week to make a decision about their season schedules, which are in limbo.
They're in trouble.
There are three prominent kickoff games, preseason games coming up, going into conference-only play. Florida State, West Virginia, Georgia, Virginia, and Auburn, North Carolina games are set for weeks 1 and 2 in Atlanta. So they're looking at, due to COVID-19 right now, canceling these games. So they went to the Peach Bowl guy who runs the CEO, Gary Stokin. They asked him, so you cancel these three huge college football games, what's that going to cost the Atlanta economy? $100 million was his reply.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Something.
Hey, listen, you know, I was trying to, this is a little bit tongue in cheek here, but I was trying to figure out what tickets are going to cost this year for some of the ball clubs, especially in the NFL. My Lord, just to get a general admission seat's like $98, $100. That's one of the lowest prices. My Lord, boy, you got to be a rich guy to attend an NFL game, huh?
NFL game?
Yeah,
tickets to
NFL.
All sports events. Tickets to all sports events are outrageous.
Yeah, the average for the NFL is $151. So,
Philadelphia is $144 general admission.
Yeah. Okay. So now you look at, and I hate to keep bringing this up again, but he is here with us today, and he is a young man. He is married. He has a kid already, probably another one on the way at some point. So it's in the future, Brandon McAfee says, oh, I think I'll take the family out to the Lions game, his beloved Lions game this weekend. Now you're talking about buying four tickets at that price, Denny, and $40 to park, and whatever the outrageous ripoff prices. You're looking at an unbelievably expensive family outing for a lot of middle-class people who don't make that much money. What's going to happen?
Well, you know what the NFL would say? Don't have any children.
It's a little too late for that in Brandon's case.
It is.
Well, you're talking about the craziness in sports we have in much of the show, because it's crazy out there, folks.
It is.
You don't think the inmates are now running the asylum? Denny's beloved hometown Chicago Bulls have a rookie forward named Daniel Gafford, who was asked about Jim Boylan, the Bulls head coach and longtime assistant to Tom Izzo at Michigan State. Gafford replied, I don't like him a lot, but he okay. Got some things he can work on. Got some things he can better at as a person and as a coach. Well, apparently young Mr. Gafford does not believe in the use of verbs in sentences, even though he was a student athlete at the elite academic institution known as the University of Arkansas. But the kid is not alone in his criticism of Boylan. That's one thing. But Denny, you were once a rookie in Major League Baseball. You ever heard anybody, a reporter says, what do you think of your manager? Yeah, not too much. You got things you got to work on. Imagine Sparky hearing that from a rookie.
Well, I think that Sparky heard a little bit of everything when he managed. He managed a long time. And, you know, I mean, it's very difficult to disparage somebody who may have not had the education that I've had, you've had, Brandon's had. So, you know, I think you got to tread lightly when you bring that subject up. I really do.
Well, now what subject are you talking about?
We're all raised in different environments,
okay,
Bob.
Okay. So you're talking about the quote that the kid manufactured.
No, I'm not talking about the quote. I'm just talking about you're talking about the way he's talking.
That's exactly what I mean by saying that. I quoted him directly. Directly.
Right. You're doing it in a slang
you don't
from
like it
that area.
It is what it is. You know, it is what it is.
But Denny, I think Bob's point is the disrespect towards a head coach.
Yeah.
It's really condescending.
From a rookie. It's hard to believe some of this stuff is going on. And you say, well, some of us have more education than others. Of course we do. But if you're a student at the state university, the big state university of Arkansas, aren't you supposed to know how to read and write and speak the English language at rudimentary levels?
You would certainly hope so.
They're just student athletes, nonsense. All right. So unless you got something, I got a couple other things here.
Go ahead.
I want to mention, it was just revealed the other day that Real Turcotte had died in mid-June. No idea why this is just coming out now.
Who is he?
I'm telling you. He played 4 years for Michigan State from 1959 to 63. He wasn't good enough to play in the NHL, so he became a coach. So this guy designed a systematic approach to teaching skills like stick handling and puck control at his hockey schools in Michigan and around the country. For 50 years he did this. 50 years, and he helped develop generations of American stars for the National Hockey League. And you like this quote? The great Pat LaFontaine said about Real Turcotte, quote, he would be on the Mount Rushmore of hockey school coaches. It's just, he was a great man. I don't know why this happened. He was one of the first people I ever covered as a rookie reporter myself in 1974 in Lansing. He was head coach of the IHL Lansing Lancers. It's just too much of this stuff falls by the wayside, Denny, because you have generations of people coming up who say, well, I've never heard of that guy. And since Eli is not with us today, we don't have
How about the mailbag? Where's the mailbag? I'm
coming to that right now. But we don't have, per se, a this day in sports. But I do want to read this. On this date, July 23rd, 1996, the great Kerry Strug won the gold medal in the 1996 Summer Olympics, after that amazing pole vault on an injured ankle,
right. Yeah.
I covered that. I was there. I saw it. Fantastic. Mailbag. Oh, no, I'm going to say goodbye to the radio listeners right now. See, I don't do this at all. Goodbye, the radio listeners. You've been listening to No Filter Sports Podcast. All right. You ready for the mailbag now?
Yeah. If we ever do this again, shoot me.
You can tweet us at Eli Zara, at MU2Denny, or at Bob Page Sports. Now, there is actually a guy on Twitter who calls his site the Not Awful Mailbag in response to some past, you know, criticism from Mr. Zarrett about the length of the mailbag. He writes, "Hot dog! I think an expanded mailbag is in order coming this Thursday, as Eli will not be on the show." Iffy the Dopester sent me this note. "Bob, thanks again for the shout-out. I'll always be a devoted Dave Dombrowski fan for taking the Tigers from the outhouse to the penthouse," referring to our last show. "Great interview today. Eli's gone on Thursday. I request an extended mailbag." Jeff Schrote tweets. Jeff Schrote tweets, "What? No Eli on Thursday's show? I guess it's up to Denny to ask the guest five-minute-long questions or express complete exasperation about a lengthy mailbag." David Hubbard Jr. was a great get, boys. That's what he says. "Love the podcast. And keep yelling at each other, please. I also love all the Red Shovel Network shows, especially ML Elric's. You guys are doing awesome."
Hey, by the way, if Eli didn't ask 5-minute questions, the show would only be about 12 minutes.
Yeah, right. We got to fill the time somehow. Otherwise. So I mentioned Luke Nowacki. He's obviously a big fan of the show, too. He actually emailed me, or tweeted me, I should say, this week. "It would have been interesting for you guys to ask Dave Dombrowski on Monday, what was Al Avila's best move for the Tigers since Dombrowski left? I mean, you can't say Mize and Torkelson, because they were no thought first overall draft picks. And then you handle this. Luke asks, what has Al Avila done to improve this team?"
I had a better answer a second ago. How did you set it up a second ago? What was his best move that he's made?
Yeah.
I think probably the bathroom this morning at 7:30.
It's just, I don't know.
I don't get it with Al. I think, he's a real likable guy, by the way.
And yes.
I got to tell you, I don't sense that he's got the David Dombrowski in him. Remember, you always hear me talk about guys who've got that inner strength to pick a guy out who's really got athleticism and can put all the pieces together. I talk about those guys a lot. Dombrowski is the greatest example of that, because he knows how and defines how a guy is going to be able to play down the road. I just don't sense that with Al, and Al's positions in baseball have never been the one where he is at now. I would hope that he would have made more progress by now, but he hasn't. He's a nice man. He's a real gentleman, but some guys should be assistants and some guys should be the boss.
Yeah, the classic Peter principle thing. So, boys, should we add another new segment to our show? Because Butters tweeted me, "Bob, just listened to the show. Your Clint Frazier mask joke about dying in 10 days of COVID was great. You get under Eli's skin so very easily. And since you have the mailbag, and now this day in sports, perhaps you should add an in memoriam segment, because you usually do it randomly, just as I did with Ray Altman."
Yeah, we do it. Yeah.
It's just so many people are dying now. It's depressing.
It's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get to the point of the show where I think you've all been waiting for. This is really going to heavily involve Denny's opinions about stuff. You ready?
Yeah. This is the end?
No, it's not the end. I got a lot of stuff for you here. You're 76, though. The end could come at any time.
Any moment.
You never know about that, right? So anyway, Groovy Sports. I love some of these handles on Twitter. Groovy Sports says, "As a 2-time Cy Young Award winner in 68 and 69, I'm curious to hear if Denny thinks that MLB should even issue Cy Young Awards for 2020, given the short season. The innings pitched by Denny of 336 in 1968 and 325 in 69 are going to be a far cry from whatever the totals in 2020 will be."
Well, yeah, I don't think they have to lose their consistency. You know, it's no matter what it is, in 100 years, it won't make any difference. In 50 years, 10 years, it probably won't make any difference. Just do the same things we've always done.
Okay with that?
Yeah, let baseball keep its window. You know, let's just play inside there and keep everything consistent.
Sean O'Hara with an interesting question from Mr. McLean. What batter gave you the longest at bat, Denny? How many pitches? Ooh, what was the outcome of that at bat? Please. I'm not done with him yet. He says, still loving the show, but please drop the drama, Eli and Denny, about COVID. Do you remember your longest at bat of your pitching career?
It's against guys. It's hard to believe. One was the shortstop with the Yankees, who I talk about from time to time.
Gene Michael.
I don't think I threw anything less than 10 or 12 pitches every time he came up. And Ted Ulander used to, I'm telling you, he took up a whole 10 minutes, 15 minutes at times, fouling as many balls off as he could. He was very good at it. And so I eventually settled on the Bill Freehan story of how we get Ted Lander out. You get two strikes on him and then tell him what's coming.
And it worked?
And it worked. We got him out almost every time after that.
How'd that work with Mick?
Well, he was so confused. He says, he's not going to really throw me a curveball. He's not going to really throw me a slider.
And the same damn thing happened to Mantle when Price said,
that was
groove one for you.
That was kind of a different thing.
Well, he didn't
we weren't trying
it,
to get Mickey out. We wanted to get Ted out.
Yeah, I know that. That's pretty interesting. So this one is from Jack Morrow. And he says, but first I'll say, I know you're really going to appreciate Jack Morrow telling you about this, Denny.
Yeah.
Dear Mr. McLean, I don't know if you're aware of it, but someone has posted a short bit of film on YouTube from one of your games with the Senators in Baltimore on September 9th, 1971, with only 5,600 fans in attendance. Like, you needed to be reminded of that, huh?
Well, listen, it's 5,600 more than they're going to have at a Tiger game.
That's right, or any other game this year. Thanks to Christopher Back. He writes such nice stuff. Says, we're the best show in town. Great guest, show after show. Says, just listen to everyone. Now, let's go to Tom Bell. He's been here several times before with us. He's a transplanted Detroiter who lives in Chicago now.
Yes, he is.
And, Denny, I think this is going to be our comment of the week. Gents, just sent a small donation to you guys as much as I can. I love the show. But then Mr. Bell, who's commented here, as I mentioned in the past, proceeds to rip the three of us to shreds. He says, Eli, every time you lay out the disclaimer, I won't get too political here, but you divert into a rant like you're a guest on MSNBC. Bob, I don't mind you propping up the mailbag, as I really enjoy most of it. But the drivel on the last mailbag about Duke basketball from many years ago captured only the interest of you and the bonehead who felt it necessary to write in about it. And Denny, you're the best known guy of the three of you. So is it really necessary to announce to your guests so often, Denny McLean here, or this is Denny McLean?
Yes, it is. It is necessary.
I'm waiting for an answer there. Okay. He also says he did not like the Dave Dombrowski interview. Thought he droned on too much about Nashville.
I thought it was great.
Well, a lot of people did,
yeah,
but he didn't. And he suggested we actually get Steve Dahl to talk about Disco Demolition Night on the show. Apparently, he's still working in Chicago.
We should do that.
Yeah, we should do that. All right.
So, I wish we had thought about it for this show.
Right. Here's another really nice note from Al Kopak. And you guys tell me if I'm running a little long with the segment. I got a lot of stuff today. Another outstanding show. Love the Johnny Grubb interview.
Please, let me excuse you for just a second. I got to be somewhere Saturday, so we want to be
right. Well, you tell me then. It's just like Eli.
How about one more? One more.
When you read this one. Well, Al's on the show with us all the time. But anyway, he's just, thank you, Al. Oh, yeah, we'll say this about Al Kopak. He did not donate to the show because mainly Eli, as I mentioned last program, Eli hasn't been soliciting donations, which I think he should do more of. So Al says, I decided to give my money, Eli, to your late daughter Allison's foundation at the University of Michigan.
Nice. Tremendous.
If it can help prevent a tragedy such as you and your wife experienced, it is worth the money.
Wonderful.
So on and so forth. All right. So I guess if you want,
pick up your mic.
Here's a perfect lead into our mystery guest then. Otto asks, like the old philosophical question, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? So if the Tigers even win 25 games, but no fans are there to see it, will any Tigers fans really care? Just what we've been talking about here.
Our guests will show up.
Yeah, we're going to see about that, right? And he's talking about other sub-500 teams, so on and so forth. He says, which is what I said, there's nothing to lose this season. Put the kids in the lineup. He says, and keep up the good work with the cult players like Johnny Grubb, Scott Lusader, et cetera. Can you find Tim Corcoran or Tom Verizer? I remember Ron Cameron once interviewed Mike Laga and promoted him as the next Jason Thompson. I can't believe Ron Cameron was wrong in a prediction. So, Otto, I'm surprised you don't know this. Tommy Verizer, unfortunately, died almost exactly 6 years ago today alcohol-related problems. He was only 61. Mike Laga is another New York area kid who was from Ramsey, New Jersey. He lasted as a part-time player with the Tigers and several other teams for 9 years in the big leagues. Very nice guy. I remember him well. Denny, is he a big enough? I have to ask Eli, obviously. Do you think Mike Laga is a big enough name to have on the show?
I don't know. We can talk about it. There is one guy I'm a little upset with at this point in time, and that's Brandon Inge. We've called him 50 times. We've asked him to come on. We've sent him texts. We've sent him emails. We don't even get a response. We get, at least when somebody tells us no, they normally send us a response. I suppose I'll get a real response now. But yeah. It'd be nice. People love Brandon. He was a great representative of the Tiger organization. He still is. When he goes to a card show, they jam the joints. And I don't know why he just won't come on our show and do his thing. He's got a great charity. He's got a terrific charity. And there's so many things he could give us the lights on as far as what he's doing now and where he's going and if there's anything we can do to help him with our show. So I can't get over it. We've left a million messages.
Yeah, so we do not want or need your sympathy, folks out there in the audience, but it's hard to get guests. I've done it so many years of my career. It's hard because you're not paying them any money to come on. It's just, you know, you want them to be a nice guy and come on and maybe have some fun and some laughs with you, which our guests do.
Yeah, we get pretty good guests. We want to thank everybody for their applause and all the good things that have happened because of this show. Thank you.
And from that segue about Ron Cameron...
Ron Cameron is coming on, folks. The one, the only, the magic one. The one that keeps telling me he was such a great umpire but decided to get out of the game because he was tired of it.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been tweeting out and we have been talking about a mystery guest on this program. The few of you who guessed right, I threatened to kill if you would reveal this information publicly. So today on the show, we are going to have my old, literally, colleague, and Denny McClain's old, literally, colleague, the superfan himself. Yes, it's Ron Cameron. And Ron, I want to start this interview out with a note to you from a listener of ours who happens to be a woman. She wrote, "Ron, I love and miss you. And I'm old now, almost 50. It's so good to find that it's possible for an old broad like me to still have a future. You are my inspiration." Signed, Kelly Page, Farmington Hills, Michigan.
Do you know Kelly?
Of course he did. He called her my 30-year-old daughter on the show all the time.
How long have you been doing this radio and TV stuff, Ronnie? When did you start?
This is my 50th year.
Oh, my God, Lord. I got underwear almost as old.
Yeah, he doesn't look a day over 86 either.
No.
So it's fantastic what the business has done for you over the years. Now, is this a shortwave radio program as usual? Are they DXing in the basement? DXing in the basement?
No, I left PON a while back because the signal was terrible, but I came back. The signal's a lot better now. It's a lot better.
How many radio stations have you been on over the last 50 years?
Not that many.
Sports fans?
You know, I was on the Patriot. But the problem with the Patriot was Donald Trump, and I didn't want any part of that son of a gun. So I left there.
We don't do politics, Ronnie.
we try. Let's not get too far from why we're here. Tell us this. give me first of all, because I've got a bunch of questions about what's going on with the pandemics and everything else related to it, okay?
Okay.
Give me your idea, because you and I haven't seen you in a while. Your reaction to the Major League Baseball changes. You know, you can steal second. You get to go to second base now. I mean, some of the pitcher has to pitch to three hitters. I mean, all of that stuff. What needs to be changed and what should not have been touched?
I don't like that at all. I don't like the starting runner at second base. I don't like what baseball is. This is not the same. It's not the same, and now they got 19 pitchers on a major league roster?
Well, that's only, though, because of the conditions and the environment right now. I mean, they're not going to keep 19 next year. I mean, right now they need everybody they can get, all hands on deck.
Well, for a 60-game season.
You got it, but last year there were some teams that used 60 to 70 players all year.
Sure. Yeah.
Long before this virus and all that, baseball is not the same. I mean, players are lazy. They're greedy. It's a joke.
Why the hell would you say they're greedy? Because they're making money, Ren?
Not because they're making money. They deserve money.
Yes.
What I'm down on is when the owners came back and said, we'll do the, and even Rodriguez agrees with us. He said, we got to do this. We got to do the revenue sharing. And they won't do it.
Well, you know what?
See, when there's no fans in the stands, that's how you make your money. I know TV contract is big. Yeah, we know that. But there's no fans, no concessions, no parking. The owner is going to take a killing.
The owners are going to lose some money. That's exactly right. But they wanted to play. They wanted to play 60 games. They could have played as many as 120 if they wanted to, and the players.
I agree.
Ronnie, I know you have some thoughts with everything changing in baseball, as you say, about many players now who are taking the cue from the NFL and Colin Kaepernick and kneeling before the national anthem. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't like it. I'm going to tell you why I don't like it. I understand the protests. I understand things like that. But what I don't understand, you can't disrespect the flag. And Kaepernick, everybody wants Kaepernick to come back. He can't play anymore. He can't play. He was mediocre at best when he played. He had one good year under Harbaugh. And speaking of Harbaugh, Harbaugh hasn't developed a quarterback since. So there's a guy in trouble right now, Harbaugh.
Well, I don't know if he's in trouble. Every year he wins double digits.
He wins double digits against the Sisters of the Poor, yeah.
Listen, I understand the mission is to beat Ohio State, but in lieu of that, you might as well try to win every other game that you got to play because you got to play him anyway.
2-12 against ranked teams.
Yeah,
that's not acceptable. You remember Earl Bruce? He got fired to Ohio State because he couldn't beat Michigan?
Yep.
And here they offer Harbaugh a lifetime contract, and he turned the thing down. He's lucky he's going to be there in 2 years. If he doesn't beat Ohio State or beat some ranked teams, never made the playoffs. I mean, it's terrible.
I want to ask you a question on behalf of both of us, Eric. Why don't you tell our listeners what you remember, and we will immediately correct you, of course, because you'll be wrong. The first time you ever met, personally, Denny McClain, the first time you ever met me. Go ahead.
The first time I met him, I don't know. I can remember sitting in the Fort Shelby one night with some of my buddies, and Elmer Kershaw, that's the name you don't know. He was his House of David team from St. Joseph, youngest manager in pro ball. And we were sitting there with Grover Reisinger. Denny remembers Grover Reisinger.
No, yeah, he was one of our coaches, a nice man.
Yeah, and he was a great guy. And we were sitting there at the Port Shelby at 2 a.m. Here comes Denny driving by, waving like crazy. We wave back. What he's doing by the Port Shelby, I don't know. The first time I actually face-to-face met him, when he was a pitcher, I guess, we talked.
I remember Grover, of course, but I don't remember him in that particular, I mean, if that's one night in my life, maybe, but Grover was just a nice man. But the other
stuff,
I don't even remember the hotel, for God's sakes, the Fort Shelby. I mean, when was that?
Yeah, that's where Babe Ruth stayed. In fact, I was the night manager at the Fort Shelby for years, and I was downtown before I got this. I was walking around downtown when I lived at the townhouse. And who walks up and says, hello, but Colavito. And I said, Rocky. And he said, well, what are you doing here? And he said, I live here. And I said, you where? And I live at the Fort Shelby. Don't tell anybody. Because, you know, the ladies were after Rocky. He was a ladies' man.
Sure.
Don't tell anybody I'm there. So I won't.
How many years did you manage the Shelby?
I was a night manager at Fort Shelby. In fact, when I saw the umpires in 68, some of them I never met. Of course, they're National League. When they came in, and we talked. That's when the umpire stayed and the scouts stayed at the Fort Shelby for $7 a night.
Oh, my God.
The sign is still up. It's a Marriott now. The top of the building, the sign says the Fort Shelby.
You drove them everywhere. They didn't even need transportation as long as you were there. And you did that with the NBA referees, too.
Back then, they had no cars.
And I
remember
Lester
Schellig would come in. I don't know why I'm going with you, Ronford. I can't even get my stuff in the truck. Your truck is packed with papers. But he's with me every time.
That's why you've always been such a staunch umpire and official defender under all circumstances.
Sure.
So what do you think about instant replay coming in?
I did it for a while. Now listen, I'll tell you a story. I mean, the base of the league in 69. They assigned me to Winter, South Dakota. And Winter, South Dakota is famous for what?
Snow.
I don't know.
Well, you should. George Blah guessed it right away. Frank Leahy. Leahy Bowl. That's where we played.
Yeah.
So I get there, and I was behind the plate for every game that year. And the first game, the shortstop comes up in Winter and starts arguing on the first pitch. I said, shut up and swing the bat. And he never ran him. But he'd argue with me some. So they were off. The reason they signed me to Winter, all the Michigan players were there. So, I mean, I called this guy out on the strikes 100 different times. And so I get back to Detroit. In the winter, I'm waiting for Gordie Howe, my Olympian. At the end of the line, on the very back, that's when you lined up all over the building for Gordie. Hey, Cameron, you learned the strike zone yet? And I wheeled around, and there was my boy, the shortstop, Terry Collins. He's a great guy. In fact, when he's managing Mets, we got our picture. He said, let's get our picture. I said, sure. Took our picture, and the next year he came in. I said, Ron, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of it. I said, what you've done with the Mets has been fantastic. You took a team that was supposed to win 50 games, won 80 games the first 2 years. And the next year you got him in the World Series? I mean, this is ridiculous. And they're talking your job on the line. Did you tell the pitching coach of Baltimore that you'd get fired if you didn't make the playoffs last year? He said, I would have, Ron. I'd get fired. And no, look at you. You're in great shape now. I got a 2-year contract, but I've had this is it. At the end of 2 years, I'm done. I've had enough of this crap. And New York is murder trying to manage in New York. And I'm almost as old as you. So, Christ, you are. And later on, I'm talking to Jim Leland, and I said, that's going to be it for Terry Collins after next year. No, Ron, he's not coming back. He told me he's not coming, which he didn't do. He's still special assistant to the GM in New York. And you know who's the pitching coach in New York last year? Phil Regan.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
With the Mets, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Phil is older than dog dirt at this point.
All right, so, okay, so you haven't answered the second part of my question yet.
Great guy. They criticized him in the New York media when he was named pitching coach. And they said, you're trying to speed up the game, but you got an 82, at that time, 82-year-old guy. He needs a walker to get to the field. We jogged to the field. They apologized. Not only did a great job, we were totally wrong.
So, Ron, if you'll shut up for a minute, and you haven't answered the second part of my question. What was the first time you ever met me?
I know the first time I met you. You were umpiring the Mexican League.
Yes, I was on a Sunday morning at 11.
And the hell I was doing there, I never know. We talked afterwards.
That's the first time
I met you.
Danny, you know the Mexican League in Detroit? That it's a grown men's semi-pro league, you know, down by Clark Park. Yep. So anyway, most of those guys are just terrible pitchers. So just to make money while I was still in college, I would come down to Detroit and I would work like 3 or 4 games. And he couldn't get the ball over the plate. It was like, I mean, I had a plate one day and this guy says, hey, you know, you're doing a pretty good job back there. I said, oh, man, this is such a drag. You can't believe it. So then, fast forward a number of years later, and Ronnie and I are sitting in the press box at Tiger Stadium with Ann Doyle, and we're talking about umpiring days, his and mine. And Annie says to us, hey, you know, you two guys should make a comeback. I mean, no, we're not making a comeback. Annie says,
I didn't want to do it either.
And Cameron says, hell yes, we're going to make a comeback.
I didn't want to play.
Let me ask you the same question to the two of you. Were either of you ever fired in any of these leagues that you allegedly umpired in?
No, I never.
No.
Was. Of course not. No. No. But anyway, so anyway, I had to dish the first game. Second game, Ronnie goes behind the plate. And as he mentioned, Bob Miller and UAD, they're playing an exhibition game. I think it was the St. Clair Community College. And I'm telling you, Denny, he got in the you-know-what house within the first 2 innings. Everybody's whining about his ball and strike calls. I got to try to protect the guy. It was pathetic. It was sad.
Oh, no, Bob, you're bull. And you know, hold on. I'm going to give you a couple stories on that. Do you know that St. Clair Community College is coached by the guy that signed Derek Jeter?
No, you're
talking
about
Dick Rose. And he just retired last year after 40-some years. He'd sit with me in the press box and we'd joke around.
Yes.
But I'm going to give you another situation.
Dick
Rose. I was in the Catholic League. My last year, I just couldn't stand umpiring for $50 for 2 games and I'd drive all the way out to Santa Heights due to the schedule and things. So I'm the Catholic League called me and said, listen, we're thinking of changing are, I think, from four balls to three ball, three and two instead. Oh, okay. Can you come in? We have seven people come in. And I said, okay. I went downtown. I sat there, and then they said, whoever gets the final vote, this is 40 years ago, we'll do it. Three and three, and it comes to me. He says, Ron, why do you say it? I said, we got a big strike zone. He said, look, I'll tell you why. Because I'm sick of the batter standing up there, standing there looking, and all that stuff. And the player, and the manager saying, take one for the team, bump. But, and you got fielders on their heels. The games are too long. You want to develop ball players, make them swing the bat. And I did all this, and you know they've been 3-2 ever since then. And I was the deciding vote.
You worked in the Quebec League, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Oh, God, what a league that was. Oh, what a league that was. I mean, you got guys cussing you. It was hilarious.
Can you remember?
And I worked with Doug Clark. Doug came down. He said, Robbie, Jim, maybe join us. This league is harsh. It was a good league. Great talent. In fact, Wes Cummington came down, waved in a crowd. They wanted to make a comeback. He said, this league is too good. This is a double-A league. I don't want any part of this thing. So we're sitting here having a meeting one night, and Doug Cross had just been there a few days, and we're both crew chiefs. And he says, Ron, I've been here 4 days, and I've seen eight balls. What should I do? Don't call them. Unless it's obvious, don't call them. Now, they argued. They're not saying a word. They're not going to say a word. Don't do them. These guys are brutal on the mound. They don't know what they're doing. If it's an obvious ball, call it. Okay. And that's the way we went. I left in mid-season. Well, I didn't like the way Barney Dewey was running the umpire development program. My partner wasn't a very good umpire, I will say that, but he called, what do I have to do and all that stuff? And Barney wrote him back. He said, we've been following you. We're watching you every game. Bull crap. And he said, you're developing nicely. And he wasn't. And so they said, by the way, say hello to this guy for me. This guy had been retired for 2 years. I'm like,
well, let me ask you both a question. If umpiring was so much fun and you were trying to get to the, and I understand you're trying to get to the big leagues, where did the two of you fall off the bus that you didn't get any further than Keokuk or wherever it was? And what was the furthest place you got? What league?
Well, cool. But yeah, Bob never umpired pro ball.
You never did pro ball, Bob?
No.
No. I did 1 year. I was the umpire in chief of the Basin League. And that was a good league. I had an average year that first year. The second year, I had a great year in Quebec. But my goodness, the fans were nutcases there. I remember once I worked in first base, and we only had a two-man system because one guy was sick. The guy in the suit comes down the line, no seats down there. And they said, I said, yes, where's the third guy? He said, I said, he's sick tonight. He'll be back tomorrow. You're sick. You should be up. I just laughed at him. Like, bye-bye.
Danny, you've never asked me that question.
I enjoyed
before.
My time out. Yeah, I'm glad I did it, buddy.
I didn't know.
So anyway, Danny, to answer your question, as far as I'm concerned, I was umpiring American Legion baseball when I was still 18 and old enough to play it. Major college baseball when I was still a college student at 21. So I went to Major League Umpire Development School in Florida with a wife and a kid. And I left camp on the weekends to go see my family. And my daughter, Kelly, whom I mentioned at the top of the show, would tell me in her three-year-old voice, Daddy, Mommy was crying. I said, why was she crying, honey? She wants you to come home. We had no life back then for umpires in minor league baseball. We were paid $600 a month total, and you had to pay your expenses out of that, and you drove everywhere. So I went back and got into broadcasting. By the time I was 25, I was making the amazing, astounding sum of money, $25,000 a year at Channel 7 in Detroit. And that was the rate at which the great Larry Knapp was paid as the most senior umpire in the American League.
Well, It was no life.
Well, I got one just a hair better. When I signed my contract to play with Chicago White Sox organization, I was making $500 a month, period.
But they paid your expenses.
And had to pay all my expenses out of it, my rent, my car payment, everything else. I mean, except for the fact the car payment, I retract that because I got enough money, got $17,500 as a bonus, was able to buy a couple of cars, one for me and one for my mother. But no, it's listen, there's nothing easy when you enter the game at that level. Everybody should have an opportunity to enter the level at Mr. Kaline's level. That would be wonderful.
But Danny, they paid for the team to stay in hotels. They bought your meals, didn't they?
Yeah, they gave us.
Of course they did. We umpires had to pay our meals and hotel bills out of $600 a month gross pay.
I'm talking about minor leagues. We got in the minor leagues. You know what we got for meal money? Whenever we took a trip in the minor leagues, and I'm talking D-ball, I'm talking Clinton, Iowa, $2 per day for meals. And then we would take
you go to McDonald's?
And we'd take a 10-day road trip, $20 for 10 days.
I'm jumping in here, Ron. Hi, I'm Brandon McPhee. I'm the producer of this program here. I want to know, because I really don't have any indication of you guys working together. So who worked SportsView today first? Was it with Bob and Ron? Was it with Denny? And I'm not sure of the situation. Talk about SportsView today.
I'll talk about that right now.
We had a guy selling ads and never sold an ad, by the way, as you can remember. And then he said, get a call. So I called, but yeah, let's do it. So Bob came aboard, and then Bob left for New York, and I brought him. Oh, God, this will bring back memories. Mark Unger.
Oh, my God.
And I brought in Mark Unger, and I said, you got to get the guy. You have to, and I will give Bob credit for this. I don't have time. I got a radio show and a magazine. You got to get the guests and take care of all this. Take the tapes over. Okay, I'll do it. We tried to be like Paige and argued all the time. I said, you don't be like him. I don't want to hear it. You want to do it. He did it. He kept doing it. Finally, I loaded him. And then the guy in the Oakland Press, Caputo, writes a column, and I got rid of the best young sports catcher in television and brought in Denny McClain. Why did you do that? Something stupid like that? Because Denny replaced him. And then, of course, Mark killed his wife, and he's in jail the rest of his life.
Yeah. Murdering his wife.
That was the same and you guys, Mark Unger?
Denny, you remember this? You guys had me on essentially my own show as a guest. I came back to New York. You and Ronnie were doing Sports View Today, and we just did nothing but laugh, you know, for the entire half hour, as usual.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, Ron, you left out so much of this stuff. I got a call one day at home from Cameron. And he's ranting and raving as usual about some television show he wants to start. And he says, so welcome to the show. I said, what? What are you talking about? That was the beginning of Sports View Today. We started it.
That saved you.
That's right. Yeah, it really helped my career. I certainly don't deny
what
that.
What about this story, Bob? Right. I'm trying to get some sleep one night, 2 o'clock in the morning, pounding on the door. Who the hell is that? Bob's at the door. I said, I'm done with women. I'm done. I'm moving in.
We lived together. We roomed together for 3 months.
Oh my God! Can you imagine?
That was a
Brandon?
Nightmare. That was something else. So anyway, Denny, you know, so we had a lot of success. People loved the show. We did it at Group W Cable in Dearborn, but they couldn't sell.
Yeah.
So we have this big production meeting. All the executives, Ronnie and me, and the head of sales stands up and he says, "You know what, fellas? I've done everything. I could sell sand to an Arab, but I cannot sell the show." Cameron goes, you know why? Because I told you how to sell this show and you won't do it. He says, oh, yeah. Like, you sell so much. You're a BSer, Ron. I don't believe a word you say. Cameron.
And I put up $5,000 in checks that I had in my wallet and $2,000 in cash. You're wrong. It wasn't Dearborn. It was Grosse Pointe wanted the show. But we were in Grosse Pointe.
He's throwing. Crisp hundred after hundred on the table, and all of our eyes are like saucers. Then he says, "See this?" He goes into his ratty wallet and he pulls all this rumpled paper and he just throws it on the table. You know what those are? Those are uncashed checks because I'm too busy to go cash them. After that, we took over the show and we stole it ourselves.
I will attest to one thing. I got, and I think, how long was I with you? About a year, maybe a little less.
Actually, they're a little longer. And then you went to
maybe a little longer.
Channel 2. Now, Channel 2, they called me in about being your co-host, and they said, look, Ron, we're going to stick with Eli, give Eli some more duties here to do the show with Paige. And he said, half the people want Eli fired. I want him here, so we're going to keep Eli. I said, fine, and left. And that's when I met, I saw your wife. She was working over there then too.
Well, I can attest to the fact that in the year and a half I worked with and for him, he never missed a paycheck. He paid me on time and everything was good. I never had more laughs in my life.
We had fun.
And had just a great time. But what really impressed me about Cameron, and he may jump off a bridge today, was the fact that he woke up every day and went to work and went to every little restaurant in the state of Michigan.
Unbelievable.
And got them to buy $25 or $50.
It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it before. Never seen anything since.
And well, I'm going to give you one quick story.
Let me finish.
I sold three ads on Christmas Day and got the money in advance on Christmas Day.
I just want to tell you, every check he got, and he's not kidding when he says he had a wallet full of checks. He literally carried around thousands of dollars in checks in his wallet. And I said, why aren't you cashing those? I don't have time.
And you got some great free meals at Sports Fans Coney Island out of that, Denny, didn't you?
You know the guy you're talking about, Simone Vitale in Royal Oak.
I don't remember.
He was director of sales. I said, you got to sell. We make proposals. Don't hand me that. Well, Denny, we'll tell them. Let's tell the story when you and I finally went out to Mount Clemens and we're Kevin Adele. Oh, God. Sitting, this lady named Maze. She said, I'm going to sell your ads and you're going to get 50% of it, you and Denny. So about 8 weeks after we did the show, we went in and when are we getting paid? He said, I haven't sold any ads yet. But I got presentations out there. I said, you can stick the presentation right up your rear end. That's not how you sell ads. You go in and sell them. They don't want to do it. They want a presentation. Go somewhere else. If they want a proposal, go somewhere else. Don't put up with that crap.
And let me, we got to get out now, but tell me, and what station are you on now? PON?
I'm on WPON, 1460 AM, Friday mornings from 11 to 1, and Saturdays from 2 to 4. You can listen on WPON.com or on 1460 or WPON, WPON.com. My guest tomorrow on the show is John Warden.
For about the 200th time.
He's been on a few times, yeah. We were in Lindell the night the Tigers won in 68. And when the Tigers were, and we both lived at the townhouse downtown. And who walks in but Ed Rodgers? Ed Rodgers. So Ed walks up around. I said, hey, hi. I want you to meet John Warden, pitcher of the Tigers. Hi, I'm Ed Rundy, pitcher's best friend. He called that outside corner strike zone. Oh, my goodness.
The umpire. Ed Runge, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Ronnie, great guy, too.
Ed
Runge, by the way, was a real pitcher's umpire. A little bit more dramatic than what he was. But if you got ahead in a ball game, you get ahead 2, 3, 4 runs after the third or fourth inning, you all of a sudden your plate had expanded another 6 or 8 inches. He was
great umpiring family. Ronnie,
I'm going to tell you another story. Jake O'Donnell, he's still alive, should see the late. He umpired the NBA and then Major League umpire told me a story. They're in Boston one day, and Runge's the head of the crew. So you got a knock on the door, and the guy said, somebody wants to see Ed Runge. Oh, yeah, bring him in. So this is before the All-Star break. He goes in the dressing room, shaking hands. He said, listen, you want to golf? And the guy said, yeah, I'm coming home. They're both from San Diego. I'm going home after the game. He said, why don't I call you tomorrow? I can't stay for the game. I have to leave in the third inning. And why is that? I got a flight at 3 o'clock, so I have to leave in the third inning. But I'll call you when you get back. So he left. And he said, no, I'll see you on the flight. Yeah, no. And Jake tells me the game was in an hour and 25 minutes.
That was it. Well, we want to thank
those
you for
were the
joining
days
us.
Denny, Denny,
I'm
like
not
anymore.
Done yet, damn it. So, Ronnie, you know, I think anybody who's a sports fan of Detroit certainly knows who Ron Cameron is. But here's what they don't know and what they want to know. Why the hell? All these years, were you always buying some silly little restaurant or bar on the side, running them into the ground after promoting them and leaving 2 months
later? No, never
ran them
in the ground. I had bad people working, and everyone was a reason, things like that. I'm getting another one.
Why did you want to do it?
Want someplace. I'm sick of just selling ads all day. I'm sick of doing all this driving at my age, and I want to sit back, relax, still sell ads, but do it and get a restaurant, draw the people in. I took over Tubby's downtown, and they were doing $200 a night, and I had to do it $2,000 in the first couple of weeks. But I had bad people running it, and I screwed it down. That's my fault for letting them come in. So but this time I got a good general manager. I got two of them. But one I'm not going to bring in because there's not going to be liquor. They really want to come and work. So I'm gonna get one in the next few weeks here. Now, probably there's a deli in Canton that I'll be opening if I get that one. I'm considering that. I'll tell you who I'm turning down is, remember Wahlburgers in Detroit, the bar with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah.
They wanted me to take over them. I said, hey, I don't want liquor, and I don't want a seat to place that seats 80 people. God. And I said, I'll go look. I looked at it. I said, well, and I turned it down. Then I came back later because I heard Wahlberger gave all this money to the, or all these meals to these first responders. And that took apart my heart. And I said, you know something? Maybe we'll do something. The more I thought of it, the station doesn't come in downriver. Station goes great up to Flint and north and east suburbs and the west suburbs, but downriver it gets weak. And I wasn't going to go to a restaurant. You couldn't hear the show.
Now can we say goodbye?
Now we can say goodbye, Ron, and good luck to you.
Yes, you can.
You've just proven to all of our listeners why Jim Hawkins gave you one of the greatest nicknames in sports history. Ron Cameron Crazy.
Ronald, you're like a bad penny. You'll never disappear. We'll always hear about you because we know just lurking around the corner somewhere, there's a new deli about to open. Have a good
I'll
one,
keep you in touch, Danny. I'll let you know when mine opens.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. What was your experience like working with Ron?
First of all, I think the interview ran 30 minutes too long and we were only on for 29.
Well, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Brandon did a great job, past tense now, editing this thing to make it palatable. We'll tell you that. But was, you know, I asked you that question because to me, when he had all these sales calls he had to make, he was always uptight, always on edge.
Yeah, he was running late.
Yeah. And like, you know, on this show, we're looking for guests. We do a lot of shows. We got to get guests. So, and I got all the guests on the show when we did it together. So I thought one day we had a, as you well remember him, super nice guy, Dale Conquest, the WJR sports commentator.
Yeah,
unfortunately
nice
passed away. Yeah, good guy. So I thought, well, Dale's well known in Detroit. He's a prominent guy. Yeah. I'm going to have him on the show. Of course, Dale was glad to do that. Cameron hated his presentation. His nickname for him was Milk Toast Conquest because he felt Dale never said anything controversial. No, nothing. So he stomps into our studio for the morning taping, and he never even says hello to you. You know, who's on the show? Who's on the show? I gotta go. I said, Ron, we got a guest. It's gonna be no. Who's on the show? I said, Ron, you may not like this, but we're gonna have Dale Conquest on the show today. Milk Toast Conquest, you got Milk Toast Conquest. Danny, I swear, at this point, the door behind us to the studio opens and in walks Dale Conquest
for
the show. And Cameron has his back to him and he's stomping around, Milk Toast Conquest, there's no way. And I said to him, Ron, you know Dale, don't you? Conquest is right behind him.
Well, it's funny because I think Eli Zarrett might say the same thing had you said, hey, by the way, our guest on Thursday's program is Ron Cameron.
Well, that's why we did it today, because Eli didn't want to do it. Eli didn't want to do it. But look, I've always said this.
Now if I know look why. Back,
I always said this. And I look back at my career, at all the amazing personalities and utter classics that I've known. Everybody gets a chapter. Danny McLean, Eli Zarrett, Dick Vitale, doesn't matter. Ron Cameron is the only guy who would get two chapters in my book because you couldn't tell it all in one, and most people wouldn't believe most of it anyway, Danny.
And there's so many rumors out there about Ron and his lifestyle and some of the other things. I will tell you this. I don't think he's ever paid for a hotel room other than trading for it.
It's a trade-off. That's where he's always lived.
I mean, his food, he's always getting certificates to have lunch and dinner and breakfast wherever he wanted to go. And his sales enforcement, I use the word enforcement, he would go in there, sit down with the owner, the general manager. I was with him on two or three occasions just because we were in the wrong place. And he would look at the guy and say, well, Mr. Jones, and seldom ever called him Mr. He'd say, I need to check right now. I got other things to do today. And if you can't pay, I'm out of here. I'm telling you, more times than not, the guy wrote the check. I've never seen any kind of a sale presentation in a minute or less, and he gets the check. And I'm telling you, he had a wallet full of checks every time I saw him.
You know, since I mentioned him, you know what Dick Vitale said about Ron Cameron? By rights, you better respect this guy, because whether you like him or not, because he should be lying at a gutter in Detroit with a needle in his arm.
You're right. Yeah.
When he was 15 years old, never knew his dad. Yep. His mother threw him out of the house on the street. 15-year-old boy. He says, Mom, she says, I just don't want you anymore. That's how he wound up going to work, eventually at the Fort Shelby, as he said. And he was his life was sports. This lone little waif would stand outside the players' entrance at the Olympia, waiting for his heroes Gordie Howe, Alex Delvecchio, and those guys to come out. And he was there every day. And
he
after
was
a
super
while,
fan, right?
He was super. No, he was a boy. He was 15 years
but
old.
I mean,
at that
he
point.
Was super fan with the
yeah.
way he, his
which is
adulation,
the way he built him. Yeah,
his adulation for the people who played these professional sports was over the top. Absolutely
yeah.
over the top.
Yep. So, including you, and so a couple of the guys finally. Well, they noticed him after this. They said, "Son, what are you doing out here every day?" And he told him his life story, and the Wings took him under their collective arms. And that's the Ron Cameron story. So, yeah, I mean, you and I could sit here and just do a whole show telling Ron Cameron stories. It's just
we should have.
Such funny stuff over the years. Now, speaking of shows.
We got to go, Bob.
We do. But I learned something from one of our listeners today who told me he had gotten Mickey Lolich's autograph at a sports card show that they had
yeah,
in
Lolich
Troy.
Lolich was at a show this past weekend,
right.
Saturday, I believe.
So I didn't know they were doing that. So then he wants to know if you're going back on the circuit.
I'm not for a while. It's too dangerous out there.
Okay.
It's way too dangerous. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you've enjoyed it, and have a great weekend.
All right. Drive careful. Stay safe, folks.